are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Happy Wednesday to all of our listeners. We're already halfway through game week. The Seahawks returning to the practice field today. Did have a notable injury or two worth discussing. Not quite as clean of a practice plan as we saw last week going into the season opener. That was to be expected. We're going to be breaking down key matchups to watch in the Seahawks' upcoming week two matchup against the Titans when the Seahawks are on offense and on defense, as we always do on our Wednesday show. Jam-packed episode coming your way, so let's get to it. The Locked On NFL Draft Podcast relaunches September 20th with brand new hosts. Eric Crocker brings the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. We are now midway through the week, getting ready for Seahawks versus Titans at Lumen Field. The Seahawks returned to the practice field on Wednesday, missing a couple of players that are banged up. One in particular, center Ethan Posick, is on injured reserve. The team placed him on IR today. He's dealing with a knee sprain that he suffered in the second half of last week's win over the Indianapolis Colts. And so that means it's Dakota Shepley time as the backup behind Kyle Fuller at the pivot position.
Yeah, and that's obviously huge news. I mean, because Ethan Posick, of course, started all year long for the Seahawks a season ago. They knew that he was at least relatively proven starter. And so the drop-off between Ethan Posick and Dakota Shepley, it's going to be interesting to see if it actually is that, if it's a drop-off. Because I got to tell you, Corbin, when I watched Shepley at the San Francisco 49ers tape over the preseason, I was really impressed by him. And Pete Carroll twice now has said that he was surprised that Shepley was available for them to pick up. I have been relatively impressed by the improvement that I saw from Kyle Fuller. One of the things we talked about, in breaking down Seattle's preseason games, is the fact that Kyle Fuller was pretty disappointing in that very first preseason game. I would have graded him on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 2 or a 3. But I was encouraged by the fact that in preseason game number 2, I would have bumped that grip to 5 or 6. In preseason game number 3, I would have said a 7 or 8. I thought he played fairly well against the Indianapolis Colts in the opener. I do think that it's notable that Seattle continues to kind of rotate the center position. They clearly have seen some of the things I think anybody paying attention to the center position has seen for the Seahawks, and that it is still a position of concern. But at the same time, I think that Kyle Fuller clearly has distanced himself to be Seattle starter. And Dakota Shepley is not just a name. He is a guy that actually has some talent. And I think that this is an opportunity for him. I would not be surprised at all if he gets a little bit of playing time either this week, next week, maybe the week after that, to see what he can do as well.
This really is a case where the always compete mantra has gone into the regular season. We saw that with a few position groups in week one. We also saw it at linebacker, even Jordan Brooks getting a few snaps on the sideline where Cody Barton stepped in for him. And Barton, Pete Carroll felt, had earned that opportunity. And of course, the slot corner position, they're going to continue to mix and match Marquise Blair and Ugo Amadi. But I think the fact that Ethan Posick, after missing most of camp with a hamstring injury, the fact that Pete Carroll was still getting him into the lineup indicated to me that they still were not 100% sure who they wanted to move forward with as their starting center. And I anticipate that may still happen, especially if Kyle Fuller struggles a little bit in the next game or two. You could see Dakota Shepley get that opportunity now that he has been with the team for a few weeks. A couple other injuries of note. Pete Carroll mentioned this on Monday. We saw Rashad Penny exit the game on Sunday after just 2 carries. He was on the injury report the week before, did not have a final injury designation. However, he was dealing with a tight calf, ended up aggravating that a little bit in the game, and for precautionary reasons, they took him out. He looked solid on the first 2 carries, but again, Penny has not been able to stay healthy. This now creates a great opportunity for Alex Collins, who was inactive against the Colts. He's now likely going to step in as that number 2 between the tackles back behind Chris Carson. I expect that Collins is going to get plenty of run this weekend, And there's a chance Rashad Penny could be out for 2 or 3 weeks. Some thought he might have been the player that goes on injured reserve. Instead, Posick was. They're going to hang on to Penny being healthy right now, hoping he gets back as soon as possible. But this is a great chance for Alex Collins to capitalize with some playing time.
Oh, and that's the thing is that I feel very confident in Alex Collins. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously with Rashad Penny being the first round pick, we've talked so many times about how the fact that you and I are both higher on Rashad Penny's talent than maybe some Seahawk fans seem to be. There's just not many guys who are 5'11", 230 pounds, have a 4'4 speed the way that Penny does. But obviously, the most important ability in the NFL is durability, and Rashad Penny simply has not shown that yet. Alex Collins is a legitimate talent, as we talked about so many times before. His success in the SEC, the fact that he was able to come in and make the immediate impact that he did a year ago, even after being out of the league for a little while, I think this kind of speaks to his talent and his commitment, the fact that he is quicker than he's been. And of course, anybody who watched Seattle's preseason knows exactly what talent Alex Collins is. So I think that the Seattle has to feel pretty good about the running back position. Even losing a player like Rashad Penny, you love your depth at that position. The one that concerns me the most is the fact that D. Eskridge is not going to be available to Seattle, or at least it appears that he will not be. He did not practice on Wednesday. He was ruled out of the NFL opener against the Colts due to what was reported, at least, as a concussion. And so that is a concern, because this is a young man who just has a different element of speed that he brings to the game. Penny Hart, I would expect, as well as Freddie Swain, to be the primary receiver behind, obviously, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett as Seattle's primary guys. But again, they don't have the straight line speed D. Eskridge has. And so because of that, that does concern me a little bit. But again, this is a different era in Seahawks football. You have so many different weapons at Russell Wilson and Shane Waldron's disposal that I really think that that while this is an important loss for the Seahawks with Eskridge, the bigger story is making sure that you get him back for the long term of the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, that's an injury that has me a bit bummed out, just because even though he only touched the ball 3 times on Sunday, every time that he had his ball had the ball in his hands, he just thought, there's a big play coming. The 2 jet sweeps that he had, he got 22 yards on. Unfortunately, the second one is the one that he took a shot as he was going out of bounds and got concussed on. Pete Carroll said he wasn't even at the facility today. So that tells me that he is not going to be able to make it back this week. And I wouldn't want him rushing back from a head injury anyway. They're going to need him in the long haul. Maybe they can have him back for their week 3 game against the Vikings on the road. That's a pretty good football team that they'll need as many talented receivers as they can going against Mike Zimmer's defense. So get him healthy for that game. Don't try to rush him back. But, man, the tantalizing talent that we have seen from him in limited action, that preseason finale, the couple big plays he had on the practice field, a couple long touchdowns to close out training camp, and then the 3 times he touched the ball on Sunday against the Colts, making things happen. You want to see that element that he brings, that speed, that running back background, the after the catch capabilities. He just adds some things they haven't had at receiver to go with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So you can hope you get him back as quickly as possible so that Waldron's able to truly unleash this kid. And just when he runs jet motion and doesn't get the ball, the stress that it puts on the defense, the ability to have some deception, some misdirection, we just haven't seen much of that from Seattle's offense. You saw a lot of it on Sunday, and he got plenty of opportunities to show that even on just 12 snaps. So they'll be hoping and praying they can get number one back on the field here as soon as possible. When we come back in the second quarter, it's time to start diving into the matchups. Seahawks versus Titans at Lumen Field in week 2. Which players will we be watching when the Seahawks are on offense going up against the Titans defense? We'll go through 3 key matchups to watch when we return. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this upcoming season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100 From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. This is your host, Corbin Smith, joined as always by Rob Rang. The Seahawks looking to improve to 2-0 for the second straight season, and they've got a challenging opponent. Don't let the fact they lost 38-13 to the Cardinals in week one fool you. The Titans have a lot of talent on both sides of the football. They're coming off an 11-win season. They've been in the playoffs each of the last 2 years. Well-coached. It's a team that always seems to bounce back when they lose games, as we talked about yesterday. So there are going to be some very enticing matchups to watch in this game. Let's look at when the Seahawks are on offense. And you and I were talking about this before the show, and immediately both of us, the first thing that stood out to us, this is one of those games where Russell Wilson is going to have to keep his eyes out for one player in particular on the Titans' defense. In this case, it's at the safety position. Kevin Byard, I think one of the top five safeties in the NFL. He's had an 8-interception season before. He's been a first-team All-Pro. He's been a second-team All-Pro. 3 different years of 4 or more interceptions. Last year, had 111 tackles, 45 career passes defensed. You can blitz him some. He is a do-it-all safety, and he's a guy that's going to be moved all over the field. So Russell Wilson needs to know where Byard is at all times, because he's a ball hawk, and if you don't know where he is, he's going to jump routes, and he's going to pick you off.
Well said, my friend. I think that Kevin Byard is absolutely one of the best safeties in the NFL, and it's funny because not very many people outside of the AFC and fandom out there really know who he is. It's interesting. It's kind of making sure that I was going to pronounce his name correctly. I saw that former NFL head coach Rex Ryan butchered his name, Kevin Byard, from Middle Tennessee State originally, and that's one of the reasons why I love the story, Corbin, is just because this is a guy who played at a relatively small school, was drafted in the middle rounds by the Tennessee Titans, and has become an All-Pro who absolutely demands respect because of his ball skills, because of the fact that he is a true all-around safety. And so I 100% agree with you. If there is a player, I would argue there's some good defensive linemen and edge rushers for the Titans as well, but certainly if there is a player in that secondary that I think can absolutely wreck this game from a Seahawks perspective, it absolutely is Kevin Byard. And because of his position, because of his talent, and at that free safety position, he has the ability, he has the range to be able to play that single high safety and shut down the deep passing game. And of course, you only have to go back to last week and see what Russell Wilson was able to do against the Indianapolis Colts to know how critical that deep passing game was, so potentially eliminate the big deep touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett, because Byard can play kind of that role, and the Colts maybe had some of their issues in that regard. So I think it's going to be absolutely critical. Just the mental game between Byard and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is coming off of a spectacular performance, but at the same time, he has to be careful, because as you just said about the Tennessee Titans as a whole, this is a team that's hungry and looking for a little bit of payback, and Byard is the kind of guy that can absolutely get that done.
As far as players that Russell Wilson's going to be targeting, this feels like one of those games where the skill players are going to be especially important. We could obviously every game talk about the offensive line, and it feels weird that when we're trying to come up with 3 matchups, we actually didn't have one that involved the offensive line. But the big reason for that, and maybe I'm just taking too much stock from one game or from what I saw in training camp, but I was talking about it last month. I have been viewing the tight end position as a position that was going to be a much bigger focal point in this offense with Shane Waldron. And we got a glimpse last week of what Gerald Everett, Will Dissly, and eventually Colby Parkinson are going to be able to do for this passing game. They're going to get him involved. They're going to be moving those players all over the place. They're going to be chess pieces, a lot of 12 personnel when they're going to have 2 tight ends in the field at the same time. They're going to be active in the passing game. They're going to get him involved when they're running their jet sweeps. They're going to run screens to tight ends, you name it. Shane Waldron's going to be really active with getting the football to his tight ends. And I look at this Titans defense, and they've got a couple really athletic linebackers, including Jayon Brown, a player that you and I were talking about beforehand, around 220 pounds, is built more like a safety. So that type of a player you would think would match up pretty well with Seattle's tight ends, even Gerald Everett being the athlete that he is. But This is a defense, Rob, that last year gave up 130 fantasy points to tight ends. They were in the top 10 for receptions given up and receiving yards given up to the tight end position. They gave up 8 touchdowns to tight ends, which I believe was around 11th or 12th in the NFL last year. So not horrible, but you can beat this team with your tight ends. And when you've got DK Metcalf and the receivers they have on the outside that are going to be drawing a lot of attention from Tennessee's defense, it just creates more opportunities. I feel like Gerald Everett and Will Disley have a chance to have big games against this defense.
I think that they potentially could have big games against just about any defense, because I think this is a different level of talent and a different scheme that is truly going to take advantage of their unique talents. I mean, Gerald Everett, in my opinion, is about as exciting of a talent as the Seahawks have ever, let me stress that, ever had at the tight end position. They've had some spectacular talents at tight end position, but very few who have the combination of skills that Gerald Everett has. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that Kevin Byers, we just discussed, is a fantastic player. I think Amani Hooker, the strong safety from the University of Iowa, and you and I are big Kirk Ferentz fans and what the Iowa Hawkeyes have been able to produce, that he's a ball hawk as well. So I do think that safety position for the Tennessee Titans is one that's dangerous. And you look at their athletes at the linebacker position, Rashawn Evans, former first-round pick out of Alabama. You mentioned Jayden Brown and what an athlete he is. The position scares me a little bit about how they match up with Seattle, but that's all the more reason why we should be talking about them. Because as you just said, the dynamic talent that Seattle has at the wide receiver position, it's most likely going to force Tennessee to use their safeties to try to double up on the receivers, probably with Metcalf. And so that could create some one-on-one matchups. And that's something that I think that Russell Wilson is going to look to exploit. Sure, we can be talking about the offensive and defensive lines, but the fact that the Titans struggled, frankly, against the Arizona Cardinals to create any type of pass rush. Bud Dupree, coming off of the injury, had one tackle for their big free agent signee on the defensive side of the ball a year ago. So I think that the Seahawks have to go into this game feeling pretty confident. They how much, considering how well their pass protection held up against the Colts in Lucas Oil Stadium, I think they have to feel pretty good that they are going to be able to run the ball and protect the quarterback in the friendly confines of Lumen Field.
And we can't finish this up without mentioning DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and in this case, Freddie Swain, because you and I are anticipating that we won't see D. Eskridge this week back from his concussion. Maybe we can throw Penny Hart's helmet in the ring in this case, replacing Eskridge as that fourth receiver that may get some opportunities. But the Titans have Janoris Jenkins at one cornerback spot. Russell Wilson knows him really well from his time with the Rams. He's had some success picking on him over the years. And then at the other cornerback spot, they have Fulton, who played at LSU, who is a solid corner, was a really good college player at LSU, but not a great athlete. And that doesn't seem like a good matchup when you're talking about the two main athletes the Seahawks have on the outside, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So I just look at the fact that Janoris Jenkins, to me, is on the wrong side of 30. I think he is on the tail end of his career, a player that can be exploited, and you have Fulton at the other corner spot. Now, maybe Caleb Farley gets a bigger run, their first-round pick out of Virginia Tech. He was a limited participant in practice dealing with a shoulder issue. Now, if he's healthy, they might want to give him more opportunities because he's a big-time talent with great size and athletic ability, but he didn't play very much last week, only had 8 snaps in his NFL debut. They do have Elijah Molden, another rookie out of Washington, in the slot. They got quite a few reps last week. So they have some young talent back there. I just feel like this is another matchup like last week where the two players I'm expecting are going to get the bulk of the snaps on the outside. I think the Titans are at a disadvantage going against Seattle's superstar receivers.
I would agree with you. I do like the talent that Tennessee has at the cornerback position. I've been a big fan of Janoris Jenkins for a long time, even as he's transitioned to, you know, his so-called first name of Jackrabbit at this point. But I just don't know if the Jackrabbit has that type of Jackrabbit speed to be able to run with the 4-3 guys that Seattle has on the outside, of course, with Metcalf and Lockett. And I'm curious to see that. He does have terrific ball skills. That was one of the things that was a little bit of a knock on Fulton coming out of LSU, as you mentioned. I would stay away from Elijah Molden. I realize he's a rookie, but I think that he is among the most instinctive defensive backs I have ever seen coming out of the college game. And so Personally, I would prefer that Seattle would focus in on the outside. And why wouldn't you when you have talents like Metcalf and Lockett? I really just think that the fact that you have a Tennessee Titans roster that's coming the other side of the balls, we're going to break down a little bit later with A.J. Brown specifically. D.K. Metcalf's old teammate at Ole Miss. I think that A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf are basically going to be trying to one-up each other. And I think that this is going to be a fascinating game from that regard, because I really do think that D.K. Metcalf basically can just kind of put on his Superman cape in this game, because he has that type of talent. I think he has that type of stage, and wouldn't be surprised at all if Seattle tries to take advantage of Jack Rabbit and Christian Fulton and some of the other defensive backs in Tennessee's roster and their over-aggressiveness and their willingness to come down and try to stop the run. And maybe Russell Wilson is able to go over the top of DK Metcalf for a splashy performance.
When we come back in the third quarter, we're going to switch gears to when the Seahawks are on defense and the Titans are on offense at Lumen Field. Three more matchups for us to dissect when we return. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. It's a conundrum we've all had to deal with. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fanatic like myself, we're definitely passionate about our favorite flavors. Whether it's mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, or salted caramel, there's something for everyone. My favorite flavor, peanut butter brownie, I can eat an entire box in one sitting, and I'm not afraid to admit it. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. Some of the other flavors have just 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined as always by Rob Rang. It's our favorite episode of the week. We're breaking down matchups to watch when the Seahawks host the Titans at Lumen Field on Sunday, a week 2 matchup that's a pretty enticing one. Yes, the Titans got a beatdown last week from the Cardinals, but still a very talented team that's made the playoffs the last 2 years. Last quarter, we were looking at when the Seahawks are on offense. Now, we're going to flip the script. The Seahawks are on defense. Had a pretty good first game against the Indianapolis Colts. They are going to be tested in this one, and we have to start off with one of my favorite players in the entire NFL. Of course, me being the running back guy, I love me some King Henry. Over 1,500 yards after contact last year, he would have finished just behind Dalvin Cook for the NFL rushing title, just on that alone, as we know, ended up rushing for way more yards than that, but a huge chunk of it after contact. And Pete Carroll talked about it today. You've got to wrap. You've got to be able to get this guy down, because if you tackle too high on him, he's just going to run through your tackles. He's going to fall forward, and he's got incredible strides, great speed for a player of his size. Carroll said he was a very unique player. I don't know that there's ever been a player of his size with his athleticism and his skill set at the running back position. And that is really going to test, most notably, Seattle's linebackers. Bobby Wagner kept bringing him up unprompted today. Obviously, that's the player he's got circled on their game plan. We've got to find a way to corral this incredible potential future Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry. If you don't do that, the entire Titans offense gets going, and they weren't able to do that last week. They fell behind and they had to throw the ball a lot. They're going to be looking to get that run game established early. And if Seattle can't get Derrick Henry to the ground and they're missing tackles, that could mean it's a long afternoon for this defense.
It absolutely could be. And that's the thing, is that to me, it's going to be interesting to see how Seattle attacks the Tennessee Titans offensively. If they are able to get a big lead the way the Arizona Cardinals did, then sure, you can basically render Derrick Henry moot, and he's not a factor in the game the way that he was not really against the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals jumped up to a 17-0 lead. And so because of that, yeah, the Tennessee Titans basically abandoned their best player in the running game and started to throw the football. And Ryan Tannehill's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong. But still, as I said yesterday, priority number one, priority number two, priority number 20, priority number 22 is stopping number 22. Derrick Henry is that good. He can absolutely take over this football game. And so it is absolutely critical that Seattle continue to use that five-man front if they have to, continue to get the quality tackling they've had for a decade or so from Bobby Wagner, solid tackling from Jordan Brooks, Cody Barton, whoever is playing the linebacker position. So I think that those are all critical areas that we have to focus in on here. And because you expect Seattle's linebackers to be coming up and aggressively trying to mention to stop Derrick Henry, we talked about the tight ends from Seattle's perspective as well. Earlier, I worry for Seattle that perhaps Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill and their tight ends, Anthony Firkser is a good tight end that people are kind of sleeping on, that he's a good player as well. But again, no question about it. You are absolutely right, sir. It's not just your perhaps running back bias speaking here. Derrick Henry is the number one factor. The Seahawks have to slow down. He can take over this game. And by the way, as I mentioned yesterday, he's a developing receiver as well. He is not just the big burly runner. There was a lot of talk when he was coming out of Alabama, this is just another Ron Dane or another one of these big backs who can't change direction. He can. He does have the lateral agility, be able to make people miss. He obviously has the power, and he has that straight line speed. If you give him a lane, he can be gone. So it's not just Seattle's linebackers, I would argue, that are critical. It's the safeties as well, especially Quandre Diggs. He cannot allow the big play to go over the top, Henry being the top priority. But, of course, Tennessee has a couple of wide receivers who are pretty talented as well.
Yeah, you just led right into the second matchup. This is a team that already had weapons. A.J. Brown, we talked about him last quarter, former Ole Miss teammate with DK Metcalf. Those two being on the same receiving corps at the college level is pretty scary. But we're talking about a guy that has been extremely productive in his first two NFL seasons, 1,000-yard receiver, big-time playmaker that can take the ball the distance, racks up yards after the catch, really difficult to bring down. That's really the theme of this Titans offense. They like big, physical football players, whether it's Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, or their newest receiver they added to the fold, Julio Jones, future Hall of Famer. They acquired him from Atlanta during the offseason. So you've got those two big-bodied, athletic receivers that can take over games, can break tackles, are downfield threats. And we know the biggest question mark for the Seahawks defensively, one that definitely was not answered last week given the opponent. The Indianapolis Colts don't have the talent at receiver that the Titans do. We're going to find out what DJ Reed and Trey Flowers are made of. Those two played fine football last week. DJ Reed recovered that botched QB sneak that Carson Wentz fumbled, had a couple plays where he was able to come up and stick people in coverage. Trey Flowers overall played fairly well, did give up a touchdown late, but they weren't tested the way they're going to be tested in this game, particularly when you're looking at DJ Reed, the size discrepancy against these two guys. He is going to be vastly undersized going up against Brown or Jones. Trey Flowers doesn't have that issue, but then you got to wonder about the ability to change direction because both these receivers can run short to intermediate routes really well. And again, they can break tackles after the catch. Both these guys are matchup problems. It's A1 and A2. You have two number one receivers, just like Seattle does in Metcalf and Lockett. And so these corners, they're going to need that pass rush to help them out and force Ryan Tannehill to get the ball out quickly, because if he doesn't have to do that and he's got time in the pocket, these two receivers are going to be real matchup problems for Seattle's corners.
Yeah, they're frightening. They're every bit as frightening as Derrick Henry is. I mean, that's the thing about the Tennessee Titans. I mean, this is a squad that was 11-5 last year, won the AFC South. I mean, a couple of years ago, they were playing the AFC Championship game. So, you know, again, I said it yesterday. I think that this is a better team than the Indianapolis Colts. And I thought the Indianapolis Colts were a quality opponent. And I understand why Pete Carroll and everybody at the Seahawks was so giddy about how well they played against the Colts in an opener. I thought they dominated essentially on all three sides of the football, all three stages of the football. But the Tennessee Titans are a different level of talent and physicality. And that's the biggest thing that I would mention here with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. These are just bigger, stronger men. They want to play good physical football. And obviously, when you have a cornerback like D.J. Reed, a smaller guy, he's got all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of fight in that dog. It's not about the size, you know, and all that. But still, there is just the fact that A.J. Brown, 6'2", 225 pounds, and he's like, you know, he's a receiver that maybe should have been playing linebacker. And Julio Jones is a similar kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that this is a frightening matchup from that regard. We've talked all offseason, Corbin, about that cornerback position. And I think that there's some Seahawks fans out there who are feeling pretty good about how Seattle's corners played against the Indianapolis Colts. But you are absolutely right, sir. They don't have the talent, and the Colts, at least not currently with T.Y. Hilton being out. The Titans, or the Colts don't have the receiver talent Tennessee has. I'd argue the way that Carson Wentz played, a lot like he played during his ugly days in Philadelphia, that he doesn't have the talent that Ryan Tannehill has. And so this is a significant concern, I think, for the Seahawks. And I think from a football standpoint, I mentioned before Bobby Wagner and you know, Quentin Nelson with the Colts last week, and what a joy it was just to watch those two compete against each other. For my money, just watching these two wide receivers go up against Seattle's defensive backs, this is going to be really good football. I'm excited to see who the best man is after this game, because I really think that Tennessee has a great deal of talent, and I just love the way those receivers get after it.
Yeah, that cornerback group, the way they played last week, I think at best you can have cautious optimism just because you know the receivers you're facing this week. Minnesota's got a couple stud receivers in week three. And then a few games down the road, you're going to be playing the Rams. So the Seahawks corners are going to be tested almost weekly here in upcoming games. And this is going to be arguably the toughest test they're going to have all year with Jones and Brown. Last matchup real quick. We've avoided offensive lines and defensive lines to this point in the discussion, because this really feels like a matchup where the skill players are going to be dictating things. But the Titans last week, their offensive line did not play well at all against the Arizona Cardinals. I still think Taylor Lewan is one of the best tackles in football, especially as a run blocker. I have some concerns in particular with him going up against Seattle's edge defenders in the run game. We talked about Derrick Henry's ability to get downhill and his ability to break tackles. And if there's a crease, he can hit home runs. He's just that very rare talent at his size with the athleticism that he brings. But Taylor Lewan going up against Daryl Taylor or Benson Mayoa or Alton Robinson, those guys all played really well in the season opener. But this feels like a game with the tackles that the Titans have. Even Ty Sombrello, the right tackle, is a bigger guy that can move people in the run game. This feels like a game where setting the edge is going to be critical for the Seahawks defensively against the run. Is Daryl Taylor going to be able to bring his hard hat? Is Alton Robinson going to bring his hard hat? Is Benson Mayoa going to bring the hard hat? You better against this Titans team that's going to come out. They're going to want to be physical. That is an area I feel like the Titans can take advantage of Seattle's defensive line. I like the matchup from a pass rushing standpoint, but in the run game, that is where I'm most worried. Not the interior where Puna Ford and Brian Monet are. The guys on the outside, some of the lighter edge rushers the Seahawks have, are they going to be able to hold up physically when the Titans decide we want to play smash mouth football?
Yeah, that to me is basically the game in itself. Because again, we talked about some of the skill position talent, and Tennessee and Seattle both are absolutely loaded. That part of the game I think is fascinating. But yeah, the line of scrimmage I think really is where this game is going to be won and lost. And you look at the way that Mike Vrabel has, as the head coach, John Robinson, the general manager, how they've built the Tennessee Titans. They've done it in very similar way with the way that Seattle has, of course, with John Schneider and Pete Carroll. They want big, physical, tough guys. And certainly Tennessee has that. And I love that you mentioned Taylor Lewan. I mean, he was roasted, frankly, against the Arizona Cardinals. Chandler Jones had five sacks, several of them against Taylor Lewan. Taylor Lewan is a stud. I mean, a lot of people remember his time at Michigan. They might even remember the kind of infamous clip of Jadeveon Clowney brushing by Taylor Lewan and hitting the Michigan running back at that time. And one of the just most iconic college football plays you've ever seen. What people forget a little bit is the way that Taylor Lewan played the rest of that game, the tenacity, the physicality, the aggression with which he showed. He is absolutely a Pro Bowl tackle. You don't think that he's angry after the way that Chandler Jones basically served him lunch last week. So to me, it's critical that Daryl Taylor's, the Alton Robinson's, the Rasheem Greens, who again might be feeling pretty good about himself after the way he played against the Colts last week. This is a different level of left tackle that they're going to be facing here. And again, you know, the Tennessee Titans are going to want to run the football right down Seattle's throat and basically take Seattle's offense out of the game as much as they possibly can. So I really think this is a critical matchup. The one thing I will say is you have a University of Tennessee volunteer and Daryl Taylor who wants to make that first big impact in his first home game here, going against, of course, the Tennessee Titans. That, to me, is a fascinating matchup. But you said it. Can Seattle set the edge? That's been one of the concerns that we've had here a little bit. So I really think that's a fascinating matchup. If Tennessee is able to run the ball on the outside against Seattle, they can win this game. If Seattle's edge rushers are able not only to be able to get a little bit of pressure, it's going to be interesting to see what type of impact the 12s might be able to bring in terms of a noise factor, but they might be rendered mute themselves if Tennessee is able to run the ball down Seattle's throat. So that's what's going to be critical. Seattle's outside guys have to be able to hold up the point of attack. That's something that KJ Wright did a terrific job of. It's going to be interesting to see if Seattle's young linebackers could do the same thing.
Containment, setting the edge, being physical at the point of attack, it's going to be crucial in this game. And I'm not even talking just from the standpoint of running pitches and stuff. That's not really Derrick Henry's game anyway. But the off-tackle runs, can you set the edge? Can you physically hold up in the trenches at the point of attack? If they're not able to do that, it could be a very long afternoon for Seattle's defense. Because I have a feeling this is going to be a black and blue matchup. You and I love them. But those are physical games. The Seahawks had to bring their hard hats and be ready to go. Because the Titans are angry after last week's game. They're going to want to get physical in the line of scrimmage, establish that run game. And you know their offensive linemen like Taylor Lewan are going to be upset going into this game as well. They're going to want to rectify their performance after the way last week went for them. So it's going to be a very compelling matchup and one that I think is going to be critical for this game. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Check out Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Audacy app. That's AUDACY. Coming up on Thursday, it's our weekly crossover episode. I'll be joined by Locked On Titans as we continue to break down this upcoming matchup at Lumen Field. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.